Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
The Lord Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today for the last time about Frances Ridley Havergal. She was a hymn writer. Many of you are familiar with her hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." And just shortly before her death, which came when she was only 43 years old, she had promised to meet with some young men and boys to encourage them in their efforts to fight the evils of alcohol. The date was May 21st, 1879. It was a very damp day in Wales. She stood a long time in a cold spot. She got wet and chilled in the rain and mist. The next day, she went to church, but she was so weak that she had to ride a donkey home. A procession of boys gathered around her, and one boy remembers what Miss Frances told him. "I had better leave the devil's side and get on the safe side. That Jesus Christ's was the winning side. That he loved us and was calling us, and wouldn't I choose him for my captain?" Arriving at home, Frances ran in for her book, and on the saddle, Fred signed the pledge. A young sailor named Llewellyn was going to sea the next day. Frances was anxious to speak to him, and in the evening went to his cottage. He signed the book and heard one of her closing messages. His last letter from Brazil states that he faithfully kept the pledge. "This was the last time her feet were swift and beautiful for thee." That evening, she spoke to several people, pleading with them in the kitchen. The landlord and his wife and boys she saw and spoke to them loving words, writes her sister. David and Johnny Tucker will not forget how often she had them in her study. On Saturday, May 24th, she asks that texts should be put up near her bed. One of them was, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." I remember that motto on my grandfather's study wall, too. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. When things are changing, we're in the midst of perhaps traumatic changes. What more steadying words could we hear than those? Same yesterday, today, and forever. Then another text that was put up near her bed was Romans 8:18, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." She was suffering severely now. She had peritonitis, which I understand is a pretty rough thing to have. Another text, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." She had to give up a speaking engagement that she had accepted. But on Monday the 26th, although she was still in bed and in great pain, she corrected proofs, and she had her kittens, Trot and Dot, on the bed. She took the doctor by surprise when she said to him, "Do you think I've a chance of going?" And that reminded me not only of the title of my biography of Amy Carmichael, A Chance to Die, but of Amy Carmichael's attitude toward her doctors, who, she said, several times had slammed the golden gates in her face. "There is a time to die," the Bible says, and Amy Carmichael was looking forward to that time, whatever God's time might be, and she didn't want anyone doing anything drastic to prevent her going through those golden gates. Obviously, Frances Ridley Havergal had a similar spirit. When she said, "Do you think I have a chance of going?" I think she was very excited with the prospect that she was indeed going to see her Savior face to face. On May 29th, she was in the worst agonies from peritonitis, and all remedies had failed. And someone said to her, "Do you have any fear?" And she said, "Why should I? Jesus said, 'It is finished.' And what was his precious blood shed for? I trust that." Another time, she said, "I'm sure I'm not worthy to be called his son or his servant, but Jesus covers all. I am unworthy, but in him complete." I had a phone call just the other day from somebody in California whom I've never met, but she's called me a number of times, always distracted and distraught. And unfortunately, she called me just when I was putting the supper on for my husband and somebody else. And so I tried to get her to come to the point as fast as I could. I could tell that she was very upset, and she couldn't get to the point. She always gives me a very long, long, rambling story of background, which is really not terribly helpful because it's in abstract terms. And so in my necessity to get something out of the oven before it burned, I said to her, "Now, I can't talk to you right now. Could you call me back later?" And she just kept right on talking. So I said again, "I'm sorry, I have to go. I'm serving up supper, but my husband is right here. He will pray with you." And so my husband came over and took the phone and spoke her name two or three times. There was no answer. There was no dial tone, so she hadn't hung up. But if you're listening to me today, and of course I don't know where you are or what your phone number is, I hope you will forgive me for having to leave the phone. But that poor woman is terribly fearful. She is filled with fears, and I have spoken to her many, many times about the promises of God and that word in the Psalms that says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust." You must just make up your mind to trust God and not listen to the suggestions of that ancient enemy of ours. On May 30th, Frances said, "If I am going, it's too good to be true." Her sister asked her if she regretted coming to Wales, because it was in Wales where she got chilled and cold. She said, "Do you regret coming here?" And Frances said, "I should think not. The pleasantest time I have ever had. Delicious." Whit Sunday, she felt better and was able to talk a little to her brother and sisters, saying how good and kind it was for you to come. "Frank, do you remember how we knelt together at dear Papa's dying bed, what you said to me? It so comforted me. Ever since I trusted Jesus completely, I've been so happy. I can't tell you how lovely, how precious he is to me." Her doctors did everything they could. Frances was confident that they were doing everything, but she declined any further advice. She asked them, "What is the element of danger?" "You're seriously ill," they said, "and the inflammation is increasing." "I thought so, but if I'm going, it's too good to be true." In the early dawn of Whit Monday, Frances said, "In spite of the breakers, Marie, I'm so happy. God's promises are so true. Not a fear." About 8 a.m., we thought she was departing and asked for her brother. He knelt by her, inquiring if he should pray. "Yes, let it be a sacramental service," she said. And she softly but emphatically joined in the words, "Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, who evermore praise thee, saying, Holy, holy, holy." And she asked her brother to say the administration words once for all. Then she whispered, "Goodbye." And the doctor said, "Goodbye, I shall not see you again." "Then do you really think I am going?" The doctor said, "Yes." "Today?" "Probably." "Beautiful, but too good to be true." Soon after, she looked up, smiling. "Splendid to be so near the gates of heaven." Again and again, we heard her say this, and then, "So beautiful to go," through those last hours. To her brother Frank, she said, "Will you sing 'Jerusalem, my happy home,' to Papa's tune, St. Chrysostom, and play it on my harp piano? Sing from the copy that has 'Jesus, my Savior, dwells therein in glorious majesty, and him through every stormy scene I onward press to see.'" Then she asked for the hymn, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." The vicar came for a few minutes. He said, "You have talked and written a great deal about the King, and you will soon see him in his beauty. Is Jesus with you now?" Frances said, "Of course. It's splendid. I thought he would have left me here a long while, but he is so good to take me now. Please give my love to dear Mrs. Morgan and tell all the YWCA that what she and I have told them is all right. God's promises are all true, and the Lord Jesus is a good, big foundation to rest on. Ask Mr. A. to speak plainly about Jesus. I want all young clergymen to be faithful ambassadors and win souls. Tell Mr. W. I can never thank him enough for his help. Oh, I want all of you to speak bright, bright words about Jesus. Oh, do, do. It's all perfect peace. I'm only waiting for Jesus to take me in." Soon after, her friend Mrs. Morgan came, and Frances whispered, "There is no bottom to God's mercy and love. All his promises are true. Not one thing has failed." In the afternoon, she asked us if it was wrong to groan when in such pain. We told her how very, very patient she had been, that even her doctors had noticed it, and her calm. "Oh, I'm so glad you tell me this. I did want to glorify him every step of the way, and especially in this suffering. I hope none of you will have 5 minutes of this kind of pain." And her brother sang, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Then several pages go on describing the sickness, the terrible rush of convulsive sickness. And then she folded her hands and said, "There, now it is all over. Blessed rest." And on her tombstone were those words, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin."
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.